You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, getting ready to talk some Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. The big news with your club this week comes in center field. Jackie Bradley Jr. is down. Mookie Betts is up. What do they want to see from Bradley? There's not a lot of time left in the AAA season, not a lot of time for him to go get right. What do they want him to accomplish at Pawtucket over the next couple of weeks?
To tell you the truth, Matthew, I think that they wanted to get a message across to him that, you know, they wanted him to work on some real fundamental things with his hitting approach, and that's basically shortening his swing is a big point of contention. I don't think that I think they might have thought he was being a little too stubborn, to tell you the truth, and I think that they think that, you know, maybe this would be a wake-up call that, hey, you know, you don't know everything. You know, if we're teaching you these things for a reason, so I think it was kind of a firm message. And I also think that they're a little caught in between Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mookie Betts right now. They're trying to figure out, you know, which one of these guys really is their center fielder of the future. And personally, I think they probably waited a little too long to send Bradley down because, you know, this guy has been slumping basically all season. He had one nice little stretch before the All-Star break where he hit about .345 for about a 30-game span. But aside from that, this guy's been slumping all year. And now it's August, so they want to see Mookie Betts play against competition in August. Because, look, there's an old adage in baseball that you can only learn so much in September when you're facing teams with expanded rosters. It's a little harder to evaluate. So I think as much as sending Bradley down, they want to get a look at Betts right now and see if they have a better idea what they have from him, both offensively and defensively, going into next year.
So not to be too blunt or unkind to a guy who's already having a bad week, but how long do you have to hit 215 for before you realize that maybe you do need to listen to coaching and change your approach a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's been very interesting. I've had quite a few talks with Jackie myself, and what the team says to me about him and what Jackie says, it's kind of differed a lot. You know, where Jackie says, "Oh, you know, I don't really need to change anything mechanically. It's just I just need to feel comfortable." And then John Farrell was talking about very specific things that they were trying to get him to do. And I almost think Jackie feels like, you know, they were trying to pull him in too many different directions rather than just let him hit the way he's hit his whole life. So I think it's been kind of a difficult path at times between the team and Jackie. And, you know, any slumping hitter, you do hear from a lot of different people, you know, on what he should do. And maybe Jackie just feels like he has too many voices and he's not thinking clearly up there. But, you know, look, no doubt this guy can field, gold glove fielder, but, you know, you can't carry a .215 average, you know, for a contending team.
The thing that stands out to me about Bradley, and you watch him every day, he had a really good strike zone in the minors. He got on base and didn't strike out excessively. He struck out some, but and that's just completely turned on its ear in the majors. I mean, he's struck out in nearly 30% of his plate appearances. He doesn't even walk every 10, 11 plate appearances. I mean, it's a real bottoming out of a guy who had a good strike zone. What happened there?
Yeah, I think he still has a pretty good batting eye, but what's happening with Jackie Bradley is he's missing so many pitches. He's swinging and missing so often that, you know, pitches that he used to foul off to extended bats and maybe ultimately work a walk, he's just missing those pitches. And that's, you know, it all goes back to this thing that we're talking about shortening up that stroke because his swing to them is too long. You know, I can see a little bit where Jackie's coming from. Look, Dustin Pedroia has always had a long swing, and people thought that he would have to shorten that up, and for whatever reason, that swing has always worked for him. So I think Jackie still thinks it can work for him, too, and it's just not coming out. I still do think he has a pretty good eye, though. I just, like I said, when you swing and miss at so many pitches, you're not going to be able to keep at-bats alive long enough to walk.
The flip side of that is the guy who's coming in, Mookie Betts, is a pretty well-regarded prospect, but I don't think he is as highly rated as Bradley was coming through the system. What's the read on what Betts can be, not so much this year, but kind of in the longer term?
Yeah, Betts is pretty exciting because of his his raw athleticism. And he's just kind of an exciting guy to watch. Better speed than Bradley. The one thing, you're right, you didn't hear about as much as him because he was, he just kind of stuck up on people. You know, he was a high school kid who really came through the system fast. I think that, to be frank, they expected he would be a couple years away from now, but he really, he pushed through the system so fast. And, you know, that versatility, you know, it's almost like it's been great, but it's also been a bit of a drawback because they're not quite sure, you know, what, you know, is this guy our center fielder? You know, second base obviously isn't going to be an option because they have Dustin Pedroia for a long time. Can he play another position? So it's just, you know, he made that transition from the infield to the outfield this year. And I think they're still figuring out what kind of outfielder he can be. But they think with his athleticism, you know, once he gets enough reps in the outfield, they think he has all the skills to be a really good outfielder. Maybe not as good as Bradley, but a really good outfielder defensively.
Is there some configuration that includes both these guys as significant parts of a near-future Red Sox team?
Yeah, right now it's kind of hard for me to see that one because, look, you have, you know, Xander Bogaerts is going to be your shortstop. You know, you're going to have, you know, Dustin Pedroia at second base for a long time, and now you've added Cespedes, and you've added Alan Craig to the outfield. And you know, you don't know what are you going to get from Victorino next year. Are you going to get anything from him, or are you going to have to trade him? So, you know, I don't see room. I don't see a scenario for Betts and Bradley, and I think that's why they're doing this. Because I think before the season ends, they want to have a clear read on, look, which one of these guys should we go with, Bradley or Betts? And I think that the other one, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the other one was packaged in a trade this winter.
So you mentioned this a couple minutes ago, but given all that, and given that it seems if they do in fact have to make a decision, and it hasn't, it's not like they were their position in the race just changed in the last week, why wasn't
right.
this done sooner?
That's a great question, and you know, I asked it the other day. Didn't get a clear answer. I just think that they were caught in between on this, and Bradley's defense had been so good for a while, and they just wanted to give him every chance to come around, and it just didn't happen. I think that, you know, to be honest, I think they waited a little too long, and like I said, kind of get caught in between.
So let's talk about something other than center field so we don't take up 10 minutes on one topic. It sounds like things are coming along a little bit for Alan Craig. Is his return pretty imminent, it seems?
Yeah, Alan Craig, you know, he'll be back by the end of this week. And this foot injury that he has, that the first day he got to the team, he was, striving to reach first base, and he sprained the foot a little bit. And there were red flags just because of the, you know, we all know about the serious foot injury he had last year and how much it impacted him. In hindsight, the Red Sox admit they might have been a little too conservative on this one, and probably for good reason. Look, they just acquired the guy the day before he got the injury, so they didn't want to, you know, they thought, you know, I think sometimes there's a temptation for the guy who just joins the team to say, hey, I'm going to play through this. I think they took it out of his hands, made sure he didn't do that, let him slow it down, let him get a second opinion. The second opinion was exactly what they wanted. So now they're excited to be able to get a pretty good look at this guy the last 2 weeks of the season to see if he can get some of that offensive group back. Because, look, this guy can be a really good hitter. I know you watched him play quite a bit for a long time. He could be a pretty good hitter. And he didn't show it this year, but I think they think it's still in there. And they'd like to see that before the end of the year. Because, you know, like we were talking about with the center field situation, they need to know, you know, where they stand on a lot of these situations before they go into the offseason and really attack their offseason plan when it comes to making trades and signing free agents.
You mentioned I saw Craig a lot. I need you to help me out. I need you to take over ownership of the hashtag the wrench. That's important with Craig, so please, you know, that's important. The possibility for him to kind of maybe build a little momentum going into the winter, do you think that's a big deal for him to have a strong 5 or 6 weeks and go into the offseason feeling good about where he's at?
Yeah, I really do. I think if Alan Craig can just, look, become comfortable here in Boston with his new teammate, with his new teammates, with his new environment, and just put some good at-bats together, I think that this park could be really good for him. Fenway is really good for a lot of guys. Not that he's a dead pole hitter, but just this park is good for just about anybody to hit in, I think, when they're feeling good. No foul territory, and keep at-bats alive. And he's going to be around a bunch of pretty good hitters here with Pedroia and Cespedes and Ortiz. So, yeah, I do think that it's important for him psychologically to get some confidence before the end of the season and for the team as well to know what they have going into next year.
Yeah, I do think you need to be worried about him and Cespedes hitting line drive singles off the wall, but I guess that's a consequence you deal with. Ian Brown, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.